Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you each week by the law firm of Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. You can check out their website at fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Also in studio, before I introduce Kevin, Marie Christine is with us here from KLZ. How are you, Marie?
I'm doing good, Scott.
It's been a long time since we got to do a show together.
I know. Yeah. I like you guys. It's good to be here.
No, thank you so much. And also Kevin Flesh is back with us. Kevin? Always good to see you,
sir. Yeah, it's good to see you. I think the motto for this year is staying positive. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a real good, be the light where you need to be the light for this year, because last year was last year, and 2021, we're moving forward.
We are.
All in a positive
Everybody
direction.
In this room has a smile on their
that's
face.
That's right. So. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, it's smile radio today.
If our listening audience was looking at Charlie, they would be smiling too.
Yeah. That's true.
So, all right.
Yeah. He always makes us smile.
Absolutely. Well, Marie, it's always good to have you in because, you know, we've done a lot of shows over the years together, and you always bring a new perspective a little bit to some of the things that Kevin and I talk about. So just wanted to let you visit with Kevin a minute because there's a lot of different things about his law firm that I think are very telling for him. So,
and that's what I always like hearing about Kevin. You have such a unique approach. You have this warmth, this personable attitude where you approach law that's, I think, really unique. So talk about why Flesh and Beck is different than other law firms in that way.
Well, thank you very much, first of all, for that compliment, because that is, especially in the line of work that we do in the sense of trial work and what people think of trial lawyers and the way that you've got to be aggressive and you've got to do all those things that we see people on TV doing in the sense of being effective in courtrooms, and quite frankly a lot of it isn't true. But it is true that the way that you are effective in courtrooms is actually trying cases. And the nature of our practice is such that we're in court a lot, even now, virtually, through technology, but still in court, so that you're getting a sense of what's going on with the judges and the other individuals that are in the courthouse, so that you have a good sense of what may transpire in the event that you push a case for one reason or another. And the reason that we're different when you talk about personal injury cases is that a lot of firms out there say that they litigate cases, that they go to trial on cases. But what that means in the civil context is maybe a lawyer goes to trial once or twice a year on cases, and really trial work is one that you've got to be in the courtroom doing it to keep those senses of that you have viable. It's much like anything else that you do in life. If you haven't ridden a bike for 25 years, when you first get on it, it may be a little difficult. And it's the same way trying a case. You forget things that are really important, or you haven't done enough of them to recognize when things are going sideways. And that's really where we have the ability through our two practice areas, because the criminal defense, we're always doing things in court with the criminal defense cases, and that translates over then to our personal injury cases, because we've done more in the way of trying cases, doing jury voir dire, picking jurors, doing opening statements, understanding how people are going to react a lot of times to the questioning, the way that we're asking them what happened in a particular instance, or how the car accident happened, and sort of the proclivities of the way people react when they're in front of a big group, and just some of the nuances relating to that. And you only learn that from trying cases and doing those sorts of things. And so that's really a difference, so that when I have a conversation with the client, I can be more certain about some things because I've seen it happen, that I've seen those things transpire in trials, and I've seen how it's gone wrong, or I've seen how I've done it wrong, where I've learned something that this is how we'll do it so that we get a different outcome because I've tried it the way that you think we should try it, and this is how it has worked and how I don't think it will work in your particular situation.
It's interesting you talk about maintaining your skills.
Yeah.
I had somebody say, with being quarantined for so long, she's been working from home, she's forgotten how to be friendly and talk to people.
Yeah.
She interacts with people and has new social anxiety she never had.
A lot of people have been feeling that, and I even see it now where we were talking off the break about having to appear in court on a on a case in court, it's been so long that I'm like, are you really sure we're supposed to do that? Because that's not what the district court's order has said. And you're like, well, wait a second. Because it does change it. And there's a perfect example of that. And the same is true in just about everyday life as to how people are handling things. There are lots of people that are anxious about being in a room. Now with COVID, they're even more anxious about being around a group of 25 or 50 people. And so those are the sorts of things. I did a couple of trials in the fall of last year when we were able to. I did one misdemeanor case and one felony case in the span of about 4 weeks, which was pretty unusual because most people weren't doing any, but we did two, and so we were able to see how people reacted. And some of the things I came away from is we were doing trials with everybody masked. You lose the whole opportunity to see people's reactions for the bottom half of their face. So the only thing you have is their eyes or body language. And that's interesting because there is a debate in the criminal defense bar about, is that really a fair trial to have all these people in the room but you can't see the bottom of their face because you don't see their reaction? And is that fair to the defendant? And I don't know. I mean, it's I think, more fair to get them to trial than waiting for, especially if people are in custody, waiting until a year after their event has taken place to give a trial. But it is interesting because it's something that changes. And did I get better at looking people's eyes? Yeah, because I had to, you know, and you can kind of tell when the mask changes, whether they're smiling or not, you know, it's stuff like that, that you don't really think about. And those are the sorts of things that has helped us through this process because we've been able to get back and do some of those things.
In that case, you'd almost, would it be better to have it on video because you can at least see their whole face?
Well, so that's the argument, right? Is that jury trials, you have to be in person. Oh. And the argument would be, well, maybe you can do it virtually, the jury virtually, so that you could see them. I don't know. The Constitution never thought about technology that would allow
not.
Us not to be in the same room. What I can tell you is that we did, in the one felony trial, we did a witness testimony via video, and as good as the video feed was, it was still choppy, and so it was a little disjointed. And it wasn't a critical witness, but if it would have been a critical, I still objected because I said, under the Constitution, my client has the right to face this person in the courtroom in front of them, and the judge overruled us. The DA thought that if we had lost the case, the defense had lost the case, that we'd be trying it later anyway because of that ruling. But the judge was like, no, we got to go forward. We're halfway through the trial. The witness had COVID and so couldn't come into the courthouse. So the best option was to have them testify by video. And that's the argument that's being made in all of these cases, is what happens if something like that happens and then constitutionally you have to make a mistrial. And I think what you have to do is do your best effort and then take it as it comes and figure out how far do you go before you say, no, this just is not enough to be fair. Right. And in civil cases, it's different, I think, but I don't know, because you're still dealing with people's lives in the sense of money and everything else. It's a tough call. We're in really interesting times. Judges are trying to do whatever they can to keep the cases moving. And that's because we're in court all the time, we get to see that. And that's, I think, why we're different. If we were only doing personal injury cases and not being in front of the court all the time, the likelihood is I would never really see any of these judges, because most of the cases on our civil side have been pushed out until next summer. Wow. And you don't, unless you have a dispute about something where you have to have a telephone conference or maybe a Zoom of some sort with the court to make a decision, you're not seeing anything in the courthouse. You're just kind of going on and doing your own thing.
Is that kind of a unique combination then, to have the criminal defense and the personal injury?
It is. It's very unique. There aren't many firms that will do it. And for the most part, the reason is because either people get busy enough with one area of the practice or another and don't want to cover both. They're satisfied sort of with what they have with the one area of practice. We do it, and I've done it, because I like both areas of practice and because exactly what we're just talking about. I think it does make us unique, and I think it does help us be better lawyers because of the fact that we've got a very different practice area in the criminal defense that's much more in court, seeing people, human interaction sort of practice, versus the civil side that a lot of times, the, you know, 10% or less are the percentage of cases that actually go to trial. So when civil lawyers say that they're trial lawyers on the civil side, they've had, most likely in 20 years of practice, they've had maybe 15 or 20% of the jury trials that we've had, because we can do a jury trial in one day in a criminal case in a municipal court, for example, and we may do, the firm may do, we may do 50 or 75 of those a year, whereas the other lawyer, as they get older and have more complicated cases, they may do one or two trials a year. And so if you're doing the same, you know, you're doing the voir dire, the jury selection and the opening statements and putting on evidence and closing and then jury instructions and all those things, if we can do that in a day, not very complicated matters, but you go through the same process, you have the same sort of witnesses in the sense of people coming in being concerned about being a witness and getting up on the stand and telling the truth and all of those sorts of things. If we get that compressed in one day and we can do the whole process, well, you get much better at it because you get to see what happens.
Sure.
And versus a person that may have one trial that they maybe will test trial it a couple of times, but they get essentially one shot at it in real time. It just is a different way of practicing. Not that the other is bad, but that we just are ready to go when we need to go.
And you know, it seems like too that this is another great reason why you want to use someone like yourself for that specific offense, whether it be criminal, personal injury, because a lot of people, I mean, everybody knows an attorney that's got a friend, okay?
Right.
But do they get their family law attorney to run them down there to handle a DUI? Because you know what? You get a reputation in the courtrooms. Other attorneys know you, DAs know you, judges know you, and insurance companies know you.
Right.
And so all that builds into that reputation that you are, you know, ready to go to trial if needed.
Right. And I think the other thing that's interesting, because we've been in the marketplace since 1996, and so we're coming up on 25 years. And being here that long and trying as many cases as we have and being in the courts and things like that, what happens in this environment is a lot of times the governor is going to be putting people on the bench as judges that are coming from the public defenders or the prosecutor's offices because they're sort of government employees already, and that's sort of the track that they take. There's some lawyers from civil firms that'll get on the bench, but the vast majority of them are going to be on the criminal defense side or have been in that role at some point. And so those individuals now, what I'm seeing is those individuals I get to see on the bench. I had it happen 2 weeks ago where a new judge came on the bench, and I entered my appearance on a case, and the judge was like, hey, I haven't seen you since case so-and-so that we tried together 4 years ago. How are things? And it's that sort of immediate response that you get. Now, in that particular case, I had actually forgotten the case that we tried together, but the judge was very clear about it because he had remembered it. It was an unusual case. But it's that sort of response that you get that I immediately, now I think he was pretty nice to me, so I assume that our sort of interaction was professional and he felt good about me being there. But it's those sorts of things that you see much more of that when you're on the criminal defense side of people working their way into judicial roles that make a difference down the road for those criminal cases or the civil cases when we have to have rulings where I have a sense of what the person was like, let's say as a prosecutor or as a public defender, or I've been in front of them enough that I know how they think. And that gives me a good sense when somebody is making what I believe to be ridiculous arguments that I don't think a judge is going to buy, I'll stay pretty good about my position, and I'll stick to that, thinking that the judge is probably going to follow what we're going to do. At the same time, if I know a judge just thinks differently than I do, then I've got to look at what the other lawyer is saying in the civil context, because I know what I've got to deal with on the bench and how they may react to things. Mm-hmm. So that's all the sort of experience that we have that helps us, and it's because we're doing the criminal defense stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. It makes me think of when I was in college writing essays, you have to know the professor, how they grade.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it sounds like.
It is. It's completely that. I mean, and that's trial work, right? I mean, I will try a case differently in a more liberal venue than I would, let's say a Boulder jury trial, although Boulder is changing, but Boulder primarily, since I've been practicing law, has been a very liberal place that sort of bends that way. And so I may try a case thinking about how they think they look at the world and think about things versus a Douglas County jury, which generally has been much more conservative. Now, both are changing a little bit because the only people it seemed that get on juries, when I tried a jury trial last year, in Boulder was sort of older, more educated, more conservative people were on my jury. Douglas County is just the opposite now to some degree because you've got some of the soccer moms or some of the more suburban people that are more purple or blue in their political leanings. And so we're seeing a little bit better jury sort of results with regard to civil cases in Douglas County than it would have 10 years ago, for example. So, but it's people.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's in trying to get a sense of what the people are like and reading the room and what they're going to do. Mm. And that's just being there, understanding the situation. You can't do that any other way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just talking to yourself, right? When we talk in a vacuum, I sound great to myself when I'm talking to myself every morning until someone says, you know, well, wait a second, I got teenage daughters, so they may have a different perspective. And then I'm not that erudite in the way that I talk, because they're like, yeah, Dad, that I don't believe you, and I don't think that that's the way it's going, because they go to school and they get indoctrinated another way. So yeah, that's just the way it is.
Sure. You're listening to Legal Talk, brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. And once again, that website is fleshlawfirm.com, FLESCH, lawfirm.com, and it's always a free consultation there. Real quick before we get into another topic here, are people sometimes surprised that they get to, you know, they hear you on the show, and then they make an appointment, and they get to see you.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but that's true. Yeah, I have people call, especially when we were doing the shows every other week. I'd have people call soon after the show, and I would take their phone call. They'd be like, "You really do take phone calls?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's why." That's why I talk on the radio, and that's why I try to help people understand what their legal rights are, because that is our business, and that's what we're really trying to do. And it's not always going to happen. I certainly have a partner, and I have other associates in the office, but if I'm available, I mean, I'm taking calls after 5 o'clock at night most evenings, so that's the best time to get a hold of me. Between 5 and 7, I'd say, mm-hmm, I'd take calls, because the phones from the office are transferred to my cell phone, and if I'm available, I'm taking that phone call, because that's how I think a good firm should be run.
Sure.
And that's how I'd like to be treated. I mean, if I had some sort of legal services, I would want to be able to talk to the person that's doing it, and that is different from us as well, in the sense that in the sense of both criminal defense and personal injury cases, when you call and make an appointment, you're most likely going to meet with a lawyer that's going to be handling the case.
Not
and
just someone to take a bunch of information about what you think you did or
that's
whatever.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't have, the paralegals have lots of things to do, our legal assistants have lots of things to do, and I think it's really important for our clients to know the lawyer that's going to be trying the case in the event that that has to happen. And so we do the intake, and we're busy doing that intake a lot of times. And if whenever we're available, we take the calls and we respond to them, and we meet with people in person if that's how they want to meet and get the cases rolling.
Yeah. Well, I think early on, Marie said it best, too, because, I mean, man, we've been doing this a long time. And all the people that you know that I've sent your way myself when I've needed your services with accidents or whatever, we are always kind of in a panic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, anything, the word legal or cop, whatever, I don't know who doesn't get nervous. So it's nice to come in and, you know, tell our story and then have you be able to say, you know, hey, it's going to be all right. We'll take care of it, you know.
I mean, yeah.
You know, because then that puts such a calming effect then that, hey, you know what, I'm in good hands. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, have loved, you know, your firm and dealing with you is because, you know, I mean, I've never had one that would say, hey, I don't feel like he cared, or, you know, he rushed through the thing, or, you know, he didn't give me 2 seconds of his time. I mean, everybody, man, that's the nicest guy, and I could really tell that he really, really cares about what's going on with me.
Yeah, and if I didn't feel that way, that's when I think I'd stop.
Yeah.
Because we are in a service business. It's definitely one of those things where, if you don't care about what's going on, if it was just about the numbers, I would be going and doing something else. I would have gotten a stockbroker license and gone into investments or something else. But it's not, because it's exactly right. Every person that comes into our office that has a legal matter, it's really a concern for them. You know, they're spending precious time. They're also generally giving us money at the beginning if it's a criminal defense case, or they know they're going to give us money at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really concerned about how it's going to affect their lives. And no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, it's a traffic ticket that you're going to cause you to lose your license, or it's a felony matter where you're going away for a long period of time in prison, those matters to people make a difference to them no matter what. And so we recognize that. And if you don't, then that's where you start running into trouble, where you start getting sort of flippant with the client and not really caring about their matter, or that they're they're too needy. I mean, all of those sorts of things that you sometimes hear relating to lawyers and how they take on the client and what's really important. Now, at the same time, I may not be as emotionally involved as you would like me to be at times because it's a professional thing for me to do.
Sure.
And in the event that I am, if I'm at the same level as you are with emotionality, then you should be concerned
as
well.
Yeah, we're both. I don't want you going,
right.
Jesus, you did that!
I mean, exactly, you know. Right.
We are in so much trouble.
So much trouble. I don't know what we're going to do. Yeah, or you're worried about your lawyer being taken into custody with you at the same time, you know? And I'll tell you, that's something that's learned over time because when I first started, there was a little bit of that what that went on, and I got close in a couple of instances where judges were going to put me hold me in contempt, and luckily I was careful enough and smart enough to recognize where I was at and reading the room. But when you're in a hearing and you're in the hearing and the court has called two sheriffs to stand on each side of your table with your defendant, you're not exactly sure what or who is going to jail. Mm-hmm. And so that changes the perspective on what is going on in the hearing and what's taking place. And as a lawyer, you've got to be concerned about that. I remember one of the first hearings I had, it was a domestic relations case down in Douglas County. It was a contempt charge where I was trying to say that my client shouldn't have been held in contempt and shouldn't be going to jail. And a sheriff showed up and stood right by my client for the last third of the hearing. Well, now I know that the hearing wasn't going very well for my client, you know? And it was one of those situations where I was arguing as best I could, but I should have recognized, oh, geez, the judge has already made his decision, right? We already know that my client is going. And I talked to the judge afterward, and he's like, yeah, there wasn't much you could do in this case because of the history that the client had had with the court previously and the record that the court had made. But as a new lawyer, I thought I could change that. And I thought that I could do what I needed to do to talk our way out of it. Recognize now that I couldn't have done that, that we should have probably handled it a little bit different. But those are the sorts of things that happens in courtrooms. Mm-hmm. And those are the sorts of things that you learn from. And and that's why it's important to recognize when people come in and also recognize talking about the free consultations sometimes it's not a good fit because sometimes the people want somebody to yell and scream and be a jerk mm-hmm. and just be difficult to everybody, and that's not what our firm is either. We can do that, but it's only when it's effective.
Sure.
And I can turn a little bit of that switch on when I need to in cross-examination or in dealing with another person that seems to be in that same sort of bent. I understand that that's what we need to do to be effective, but that's not who I am, mm-hmm. and that's not who the firm is. And so that's why when we have those sorts of consultations and we have those conversations, we can figure that out pretty quickly to make sure that it does work for everybody, because it has to work for everybody to make
sure,
it work.
Sure. We're not going to get to our topic.
I know,
here, but right? We want to talk about.
We go through and do all this preparation before
the
show.
We'll do this next week. We're going to talk a little bit about insurance companies and all. But let me ask you this: we're definitely in a different climate now. It's way different as we sit here this January than it was last January, and especially with our police and just the way you know. Some have been treated, of course, poorly by police around the country, and then others, have got themselves in situations. So, just take a minute and just kind of talk about, hey, you get pulled over, for no matter what. Here's the best way to handle contact.
Absolutely. So I will say, especially since we do a bunch of criminal defense work, the police that I deal with on a regular basis are good people that are really trying to help the public. They're there for the right reasons. They're there to do what they think is right to help the population and to keep everyone safe. That's what they think they're doing. And sometimes they go through the process of their police work that it's somewhat off-putting by people who think that they just are doing it for the wrong reasons or they don't have the reason to talk with them or spend time with them. And then the individuals that the police are dealing with are not very professional in the way that they're handling their business with the police. And that's where things go sideways sometimes, because the police need to be respected. If you're being pulled over by a police officer, at that moment in time, that police officer has, under the law, complete control of what happens. You don't have the right to say, no, I'm not going to do this. Or if they give you a lawful order, you need to follow it. And most time, the police are doing that. And so you've got to be courteous. There are times to argue about that. It's
sure.
not
on the side of the road.
It's not on the side of the road. And right. It's not when the police say, get out of your vehicle, and you say, well, I don't think you've got a good enough reason to do it, so I'm going to stay put, and then they force you out, and then we have injuries, and then the claims of police brutality and all of those sorts of things. Or you don't think you have to do it because you've got your video on your phone and that you're videotaping everything, and you think you're in the right. You probably aren't under the law, and you need to understand that if you have a complaint about that particular officer, you can take that up later, but follow through and do the things, number one, that are courteous to the officer, number two, that keep them safe so they don't think they have to rise the level of sort of discourse and also force that they use on you. Police officer comes to a stop, a traffic stop, police are trained, are probably the most dangerous interactions that the police have on a daily basis. It's also the most what they do. And so when they get into a situation, they have lots of things that they can do in the sense of keeping themselves safe, the individual safe in the car, and making sure that the interaction that they have with the person in the vehicle is effective and quick and gets everything taken care of. Most of the time it's a traffic stop because you've done something wrong. Okay. But they're going to make sure that you understand, you know, you need to have license, registration, and proof of insurance. Those are the things that you, if you get pulled over by the police and you don't know what you've done, but at least while you're waiting for them to come up to the car, as long as it doesn't look like you're rummaging around for a weapon, you get those things, put it, have it ready for the officer. The officer will ask you to put down your window. We'll have a short conversation with you. Don't give up any information that you don't have to give up. Listen to what the officer is asking you for. They normally just want those three pieces of information, and then they'll go back to their car. Don't move your car. Don't get out of your car. Keep your hands where they can see them. Do all the things that are necessary so the police understand what's going on, and then you'll probably be on your way. I got stopped two weeks ago, early morning, by an officer. I had somebody else that was following me. The officer thought that I didn't use a turn signal on turning right onto Jordan Road, and thought that I was weaving a little bit because I was watching the person behind me where we were going, making sure that they were going with me at the same time. So he pulls me over. And it's early morning. He thought maybe I was under the influence. So we have a conversation about how I wasn't under the influence. I had a dog box and shotguns and was going hunting. You know, it was one of those things where I clearly wasn't. I'm more than happy to do whatever he needs to. But it was a very quick situation. I actually had a box of donuts in the front seat of the car. I offered him a donut when we were done. And he thought that was funny, you know, but at the same time, he's there with another officer. The other officer I saw come up on the other side of the vehicle. They were looking inside. They were making sure that everything, if what I said was true and that the officers stayed safe. It could have been a situation where they could have given me a ticket, I suppose, if they wanted to. It was just one of those interactions with the police that I was as quiet and wasn't argumentative. Whatever you need, I had all the stuff for him. Gave me a warning, gave me a card with his card, gave me the incident number, said if you have any questions down the road about what took place today, you can get a hold of my sergeant, said no problem, and that was the end of it. And now, is it because I'm a middle-aged white guy that they did this? I don't know, but that's how they reacted to it. That's how we dealt with it. And it was certainly pleasant. They had the right to do it. I think there was something that I must have done wrong that aggravated them. I'm not exactly sure. I could speculate, but whatever. They have the right to pull me over. I pulled over, and away we went.
But everybody goes home safe.
Everybody goes home safe. Good. Yes. Yeah. And that's what you really want to come out of with the police interaction, is everybody goes home safe, the officer included.
Absolutely. Well, and it's like you said, it was, you know, that's the most dangerous situation they have on a daily basis. You think about you as the driver, you know what to expect. You know the cop's going to come up to your window, you're going to hand them your license. You know what's coming. They don't know. When they go up to a window, they don't know what's going to happen.
They don't. They don't at all. And imagine doing whatever you do for a living and not sure if you're going to make it home.
Yep, absolutely. We'll bring that up next to the show because that's a lot of great. Marie, thank you so much.
Thank you both.
To have you in. Kevin, thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us for Legal Talk. Brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Talk to you next week.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery. Now, here's your host, Dan Muir.
And welcome, everybody, to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and Phoenix, and now, I believe, coming soon, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Dan Muir, and along with me is the one and only Dr. Ben. Doc, how you doing today?
Oh, doing wonderful. A little windy out there, but otherwise, nice day, beautiful time to live in Colorado, and just so much to be thankful for.
Well, you know, there really is, and you're right, that wind will blow you away today. It is amazingly windy out there. I thought the roof was going to blow off the house last night.
Yeah, we had a patient. She was driving down from Nebraska today, and she ended up canceling because the wind was just going to be way too much, and they might have even shut down I-25.
Yeah, they just might. So, Doc, so let's say I'm this guy. I'm out driving around listening to the radio show, and I'm sitting there going, why do I need to see a so-called functional medicine doctor? What's he going to do different for me than, let's say, my regular doctor? Or what can he do to help me out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, are you talking about like that 50-something-year-old guy that's gained a few too many pounds over COVID, maybe goes through the drive-thru a little bit too often?
Yeah, that guy. You
know, one of those kind of guys? Yeah.
I know that guy really well.
Yeah. So, you know, here it is. Some people, and you may be jumping on the show for the first time, or maybe you've thought about some different things as far as your health goes. But if you're thinking, you know what, I just really want to just take a pill. I don't want to change anything. I just want to take a pill, lower my cholesterol. And somebody said one time that lower cholesterol, I won't have a heart attack, which isn't true. But, you know, I just want to take that pill. You know, this isn't really the model for you. This is the best for is somebody that says, you know what, I really don't want to take that pill because I know what the side effect can be. I know that it can cause muscle weakness and leg pain and a lot of different things. And a lot of times you go on one medication and then you have to go on another medication to fix that one medication side effect and then another one for that one. And it's just this downward spiral. And all of a sudden people are taking a handful of 8, 10, 12 different medications a day and trying to counterbalance what they're feeling. And it's just a Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. So if you're that person that is fed up of doing that, doesn't want to go down that road, or just wants to get to the underlying root cause of whatever is going on in your body, that is who we can help. And I always say we see just as many teens and 20-something-year-olds as we do 50 and 60-year-olds. Yesterday, we started with a 19-year-old. I had a 28-year-old. The 19-year-old, she's a rodeo gal. She's pretty cool. The 28-year-old from Greeley had a 39-year-old from Gillette, Wyoming, and a 73-year-old from LaSalle. And,
wow.
And you know, that's the variety that we get, because age doesn't matter anymore. Somebody 30 can have something that somebody 70 used to have only. And so that's the fun part about practicing this way is, we get to the underlying why, we correct the imbalances, and the body starts repairing. We don't fix anything. We don't heal anybody. The body has this innate ability to function optimally. I always think about last year, my 16-year-old and I, we both shot an elk, actually on the same trip, same day. And as we were sitting there gutting, skinning everything on that elk, I was thinking, man, what a beautiful, majestic creature. But also, I bet this elk doesn't get PMS and have to be like, you know what, I got cramps today, you guys go on ahead, I'm just going to sit back. I bet this elk doesn't get migraines and like, oh, it's too bright, where's that cave, I need to go into my cave because it's too bright and take my Excedrin migraine. You know, that elk is running around, eating grass, doing what it needs to do, and it's kind of that thought of our dogs. Do you have a dog, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I've got two of them.
Yeah, what's happening to dogs now? What are dogs getting as far as their diseases go?
Well, we've talked about this before, but it's amazing to me that dogs are now getting the same types of diseases that human beings get.
Absolutely. So you've got thyroid issues, you've got diabetes and cancer and hip replacements, all these things with dogs. And one of my least favorite sayings in the English language is that, oh, those dogs, they're getting human diseases.
Right.
And the sad part, you know, obviously is for the dogs, but the sad part for me is that we call those human diseases to begin with. You know, we don't call them elk diseases. We don't call them buffalo diseases or mountain lion diseases or those things. We call them human diseases. And why do we get those as humans in the first place when the vast majority of animals that are out doing what they're supposed to be doing are not getting autoimmune at age 13 or age 22 or, you know, throwing up every day for a year straight like some 20-year-olds that come in? You know, why is that? Isn't that a little bit interesting?
It's really interesting, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it's probably because they don't have the awful diets that we have.
Yeah, well, that place we were hunting up in Wyoming when we got the elk, I did see the elk drive-through, and they had the it was like their own little version of Chick-fil-A. But
can you get a Frosty there too?
Yeah, I didn't get the Frosty. It was Wendy's Express there, and so exactly, yeah, and we have access to every single kind of food. You could eat lobster three meals a day if you wanted to. You could eat caviar. You could eat nothing but potato chips. Whatever you want, we have access to. You could eat nothing but broccoli. You know, whatever. You can get as much or as little food as you desire in this country. And people always say, oh, well, it costs a lot to eat healthy. And it really doesn't. You can eat healthy on $10 a day. I haven't been to a McDonald's in years, but somebody was telling me that it's like $7, $8, $9 for a Big Mac, you know, whatever kind of meal.
Yeah, that's the cheap meal there now. I'll tell you what, it'll cost you to feed a family of four at McDonald's, it'll be over $40.
Yeah, and, you know, what could I do with $40 for my family? I mean, it could be some really good, really healthy food. And I'm still back in the 90s where it was a $2.99 Whopper meal, you know, and so when somebody told me that, I was like, no way, $8, you can go over to Lone Star and get a steak for $9.99. It comes back to our food. It comes back to our chemicals. You know, your dogs are running around out there in the grass, sniffing the Roundup. There's, you've probably seen those commercials or heard them on the radio where they're, you know, billions and billions of dollars in in lawsuits and money that people are going to be able to get if they've got some different types of cancer from being around Roundup and all these different things. You know, we're exposed to so much, and then you got our stress levels, and you know, some people even have TVs. Have you heard of those?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So there's these things where they pump people into that little TV, and they're talking about like really stressful stuff all the time, and some people watch that. And
they do.
It's yeah.
Especially
and they get all worked up. Yeah, and they get this fight or flight response, and their body's revved up, and they get mad and sad, and all these different things. And so we've been in this downward spiral for many, many years. And with the functional medicine approach that we do, we can change the underlying why. We can start reversing why the body's having these issues, and then give the body that chance to actually heal and actually get better and repair. We've got a patient, he found us through this radio show a few months ago, and he was having migraines 5-6 times a week, and we've got him down now. He's maybe every 3-4 weeks he has one, but he's down 45 pounds. He showed me a picture of him hunting last year to hunting this year, the same trip they always go on. I didn't even recognize the guy last year. He looked like the you know, what was that big marshmallow guy? You know,
the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Yeah. You know,
I know him well. I know.
and this year, I mean, he looked like a regular guy hunting, looked like everybody else on there. And, you know, his energy's better, he's thinking clearer, all these things are changing. And that's what we're able to help the body create, is this change, this expansion. I always say that we give people the opportunity to be more, do more, and give more, because that's what it comes down to. What is your vitality like? What can you give to this world? What can you be? Can you experience life at that optimal level? And the vast majority of people can. So if it sounds interesting, if it's something that you're thinking you might need or have that chance in your body to actually feel better, give us a call. Our number is 970-282-1173, and you can talk to Alicia. She's great. We do have an office in Phoenix. We are, and you're right, we are looking at the in this late spring for Nashville opening, and over the next few years we'll be expanding to many, many parts of the country. So this model is not an alternative. This model is not just, you know, for people that are looking at natural things or anything. It really is the mainstream that needs to take place, because for you know, pennies on the dollar compared to going to all these specialists and doing tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars of tests and drugs and all these things, pennies on the dollar, we're able to get to the underlying cause, change the vast majority of these issues, save people from having to go down that road. And then if somebody can't get the results or it's outside of what we feel comfortable doing, then we can refer out. We can get somebody to where they need to. But this really needs to be that ground floor for the vast majority of conditions out there.
And I think you brought up something really interesting, especially last week, and you just touched on it now today, was that just because it's natural doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. I mean, oil is natural, but you don't want to drink it, right? I mean, it does wonders for your car, but I don't think you want to drink it. But the thing that you brought up last week that I think a lot of people get confused is, like, you were asking me, well, what kind of sleep aid is a natural sleep aid? Well, right away I said Ambien. Well, that's not a natural sleep aid. That's a medical sleep aid. But melatonin is a natural sleep aid, but it still doesn't solve the underlying problem as to why you can't sleep.
Exactly. And that's what we've got to get to, is that why? Why is the body going haywire in the first place? Why is somebody tired? Why is somebody anxious? Don't just give them some CBD. Yeah, that, and then you stop taking the CBD, and then your anxiety is back. So we've got to figure out the why. We've got to fix these underlying imbalances. And that's ultimately what we look at, even when we start talking about the immune system. And something I wrote a book last year. It's called Blood Sugar Doesn't Lie, and we talk about blood sugar all the time on this show. We work with patients every single day. And most people, when they think about blood sugar, they think about diabetes. But almost every single patient we work with has blood sugar imbalances, and it may be going too high, maybe going too low, maybe going too low and high, swinging throughout the day. The lows are going to feel like tired, spacey, You ever been hangry, Dan?
Oh, have I? Yeah. Unfortunately, way too often.
Your wife.
Right?
and that's the low. It's kind of like you pull the rug out from underneath somebody, and then the highs are going to actually cause a lot of inflammation. They're going to throw hormones off. We started with a guy this week. His testosterone was super low because it was spilling over into estrogen. And so his estrogen was high. It was actually as high as a menstruating female. He actually had elevated prolactin. Do you know what prolactin is?
No, what is that? Doesn't sound good.
So pro, meaning it's trying to make something. Lactin, have you ever heard of lactation?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So no,
you,
really?
You don't want prolactin as a dude.
No, you don't. No, this is not good.
And so his testosterone is low, but the traditional medical model, what do you do? Well, we give you testosterone.
Right.
But your testosterone's the floodgates are open, and you're spilling over into estrogen, prolactin. You're getting man boobs. You're crying at commercials. Your motivation is in the toilet. And then they just throw more fuel on the fire, more testosterone, and it spills even more so over. And then you start having hot flashes and all these things. But it comes back to a lot of those people, it's a blood sugar imbalance to begin with, and we've got to start there. So they're calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes.
That's amazing.
You heard that
me.
One?
Yes. Only because I've talked to you about it before, but I just find that absolutely amazing. And people don't realize what this sugar is doing to them. Like you say, it could be low sugar levels or high sugar levels. I have a sneaking suspicion, though, as Americans, we eat way too much sugar. Way too much.
Yep, absolutely. And so, you know, what really gets me about this whole, the last 10, 11 months, the whole COVID situation, and, you know, what do we hear from everybody over and over and over? Wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, sneeze in your elbow, but don't shake hands.
Right.
But then you can elbow bump.
Yeah, after we sneeze in our elbow, then we can elbow bump.
Yeah, I don't know. It's confusing. But they, what we don't hear, what Dr. Fauci doesn't get up and say, what we're not hearing our governor or anybody else get up and say, hey, there's studies that show your vitamin D, if you're under 50, if your level's under 50 on your vitamin D, you're twice as likely to get COVID. And that you can take zinc, and then you can take vitamin C. And that even you look back and if you Google search Dr. Fauci and vitamin C and D, he talked about it even like 5 years ago that he takes that every year because he's around so many people so he doesn't get the flu. And yet they're not talking about that. They're not talking about that research has shown for years if your blood sugar elevates, if your blood sugar spikes, your immune system is going to crash for 30 minutes up to 5 hours.
Wow.
So guess what happens? If you go and eat something and your blood sugar goes down and you walk into your dentist's office, or if you go into King Supers and touch the cart and there's germs on there, or you walk through somebody's sneeze spray. Do you ever see those videos where they show? And I guarantee it's going more than 6 feet. So because you're not a six feet bubble of somebody, that sneeze spray, it could go 20 feet. You walk through that, and if your immune system, your white blood cells have crashed a little bit because of that sugar spike, you are going to be way more likely to get whatever virus, bacteria, whatever it is that you're exposed to. And we know this. We've known this for years. And yet, back in World War II days, they had their victory gardens, and people knew that they were sacrificing so that the boys overseas could have their food or weapons or whatever it was. But now, no one at all talked about sacrificing and not eating something. What happened in that March and April shutdown time? What was through the roof when you were driving around town? There were cars, but what was busy?
Oh, food delivery. Pickup, food delivery.
Food delivery and Chick-fil-A.
Oh,
through the roof. Wow. There's this a Raising Cane's place up here, and there'd be line like 20 cars out onto the main highway, to get in there. People were eating left and right and eating crap food, but nobody was talking about, hey, you know what? When you go, think about this. We know Coca-Cola's got a lot of sugar, right? Coca-Cola, a 12-ounce can, has 39 grams of sugar. But guess what a grand chai latte from Starbucks has.
I have no idea.
42 grams of sugar.
That's what I thought. Okay.
More than a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, so but that latte is healthy for you because it came from Starbucks.
Yeah. Right. So you go get that 42 grams of graham chai latte from Starbucks, and then maybe I'll have that little muffin on the side, or I'll do a little breakfast burrito, whatever. All of a sudden, you just had 60, 70, 80 grams of sugar for that meal. Your blood sugar, your immune system crashes because that blood sugar spikes up and inhibits that immune response. The white blood cells crash down. And then you're not able to fight off COVID or anything else. I mean, how many lives could we have saved? How many infections could we have reversed if people said, you know what, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to, instead of shutting down the gym, I'm actually going to go work out, and I'm going to go get outside. I'm going to get my vitamin D. You know, there's a few supplements that I'm going to take, and I'm going to do everything possible. You know, instead of gaining 20 pounds, you know, you've heard of that, right, Dan?
People have I? As a matter of fact, I've experienced it.
Just so you know. Yes. You know, so instead of gaining 20 pounds, hey, let's lose 20 pounds, and your immune system's going to function that much better. Your body's going to function that much better. Instead, people hit out. People sat in their basement. They got out of the sun. Parks were taped off like murder scenes. They couldn't let kids go run around and play. The gyms were shut down. The healthy food was harder to get. It was fast food. It was stress. It was, oh my gosh, you know, don't be around people. You know, socially distance. Don't go see your mom or your grandma or your sister or whoever. And if they live alone, they're sitting there by themselves and they're depressed. And so they're eating more and they gain weight. And I've seen so many people that drink more in the last year than they did in the last 10 years. They're drinking way more alcohol and all these things. No one was on the nightly news. No one was up there saying, hey guys, do everything you can to get yourself healthy, because that's, you know, the big guilt trip out there is what? That if you get sick or if you carry this virus, you're gonna kill grandma.
Right.
Or think about all the nurses and doctors at the hospital, and that it's overwhelmed, and you're stressing out those people, and it's not fair to them. Well, guess what? It's not fair that we have the opportunity to reverse a lot of the potential to have a hard time with COVID or any other infection. 2017-18, it was a bad flu year. Guess what all the articles say? They say, oh, people, you know, the hospitals were overwhelmed. People were in the hallways. People were in the gift stores, all these things in the hospital, because almost every year, some of the hospitals get overwhelmed. And yet, you know, instead of saying, how can we fix ourselves as well as possible so that we're not as contagious, there was a study done with H1N1 swine flu that showed that if somebody was overweight or obese, they shed the virus for twice as long as somebody that was lean.
Now, what do you mean by shed the virus? Explain that.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. So let's say you get exposed to COVID. You got a little mild case, and it might be, you know, what do they say now, 10 days, stay home for 10 days or whatever. So instead of it being 10 days, if somebody's overweight or obese, they might be contagious for upwards of 20 days.
Oh my.
Instead of that lean person that would be half of that. So that person is going to be contagious for twice as long. So the less healthy you are, you're going to be contagious longer. You're going to be, you know, if you don't wear a mask, you get a guilt trip that, oh, you're going to kill somebody. Well, if you're not healthy, if you're not doing the things to have your body be as vibrant as possible, you might kill somebody too. So, you know, we should guilt trip ourselves just as much to be healthy as we should to wear a mask, to social distance, all these things. It's just as effective, if not more effective, in preventing infections, preventing deaths, all these different things that are happening.
Okay, Doc, you're convincing me of this. Now, of course, I did have one last thought on all that. On the alcohol thing, you said people are drinking more. Now, here I thought the alcohol in the alcohol would kill the virus, but it doesn't, huh?
Well, it depends. If you're using the what's the one that people will blow out with their they got their lighter, and it'll be like a
yeah, that
if you're using
that 100-proof vodka or whatever it was.
Yeah, some of the 100-proof there.
Yeah,
I think you might kill off a little bit inside. But you're going to have to inhale it through your nostrils a little bit to kill off some of the viruses.
So, okay, but in all seriousness, now you and I like to kid around some, but hey, let's say I am listening to you and I'm going, okay, so what is the first step? What do I need to do first? I'm tired of carrying this extra 30 pounds. I want to get a hold of Doc. What do I do?
Absolutely. So we are very selective in who we work with. We're booked out a month or so. We've got patients coming from all over the country. Probably 60% of our patients come from out of state. We need to know that we're going to work with the people that are motivated, willing to put the time and energy in, and ready to take some action. So whether you're local to Northern Colorado, or you live up in Wyoming or south of Denver or Kansas, whatever, it doesn't matter. We can work with you. We can help you get your life back. You call 970-282-1173 and you'll talk to Alicia. Alicia's our new patient coordinator. She's amazing. She's been talking to people all over. She talked to 75 potential patients last week on the phone. She's amazing at what she does, and she'll help screen through and make sure that you're a good fit for the program, that we're going to be able to help you. And then we'll go through the process. And the exam is in depth. It's different than anything you've had done before. I'll be pinching your toes, shining a light in your eyes, a lot of different things to take that step back and look at that body as a whole. We do what's called a brain map. We figure out if somebody's anxiety, depression, focus issues, insomnia, all these different things, if there's a brain component to it. And then we do an in-depth blood panel. This blood panel, it's a couple hundred dollars, but if you went to the regular lab, it would be between $2,500 and $3,000 if you did it through there. How do I know that? Well, unfortunately, we had this happen again this week where a patient thought they were out of state, and they said, oh, I can just run it through my insurance. I still have already met my deductible, but they mixed up, and they actually had renewed their annual insurance. Oh, no. And so it had started over, and so they're responsible. It's like $2,800, and it's a $200 panel through the lab that we do. So we're able to get more blood work at such a price. We're able to see autoimmune markers and inflammatory markers and fatty liver, and we look at insulin and thyroid and hormones and all of these different things. Really take it to that underlying, why is the body going haywire? And then from there, I let you know exactly what's going on. So keep that blood sugar stable. Monitor what you're putting in your mouth, because you can be proactive. You can take control of this way better than any safety measure out there. You can take control and have the vital body that you want.
Outstanding. Doc, once again, thank you for all this great information. And let's get some people calling you, and let's get them healthy. I really appreciate you. Thanks,
right,
Doc. Already, you've been listening to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and Phoenix, Arizona. To get a hold of Dr. Ben and the gang over there, give them a call at 970-282-1173 or go online fmcenters.com. I've been your host, Dan Mueller. Have a great afternoon.